Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor New Zealand. This is Season 2, Episode 3 and I'm your host, Shannon Gates. I'm here to talk about what I thought was a very fun episode again of Survivor New Zealand, and to talk about this episode, I've brought in what I think is a great guest, if I do say so myself. A lot of people were very, very excited to hear from this person. He is an RHAP staple and an absolute fan favorite Gen Xer from Millennials versus Gen X. Please join me in welcoming all the way from Boston, Brett LaBelle. Brett, thank you so much for being here today.
Good day, Kiwis. Shannon, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. It's always fun to talk Survivor with people from down under.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we'll get your opinion on it. But as an international franchise, I think Survivor New Zealand Season 2 is doing pretty well.
Yeah, I'm actually enjoying it. It took me, I'm not going to lie, guys, as an American Survivor, I've watched Australian Survivor as well. It takes you a little bit to get adjusted to everything. And then once you do, you're off to the races.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not, it's a different quality. Like, it's both really, really great, but obviously just a totally different thing. You have to get used to the fact that Jeff isn't the host and all these little differences, but I think that they're both really great in their own right.
Yeah, no, you do. That's definitely something that you have to get used to. There's little differences here and there, but, you know, when it all comes down, we're all playing the same game, and it's a game that we all love, and it's so fun to watch it play out.
Yeah, because Survivor at its core is the greatest game of all time, and to me, as long as they don't ruin the fundamentals, which is you vote each other out, you vote for a winner at the end, like, those are the core principles that if you screw with that, it's an entirely different thing. But once they're not doing that and all of that is kept intact, I think that it's still at its core the greatest game. So it is really, really fun to talk about it with you today, Brett. But before we do that, we last heard from you just a couple of weeks ago in Boston. What have you been up to since then?
Sobering up. that was a tough party we had here for the Boston know-it-alls. We had it in Boston and it was a great time. Fishback and Rob Cesarino came out and we just had a great time. We really did. I think there was 18 survivors or 16 survivors, past playing American survivors from the Boston area showed up, including Chris Hammonds, my bitch, from my season. He showed up as well. So, yeah,
just a couple of minutes in and we get our first Chris Hammonds reference. That feels right.
Well, you know, I gotta mention Chris every now and then. Chris is a great guy. Mm-hmm. He's a Survivor legend and a good friend. So,
yeah, I think all of us Aussies and Kiwis feel a lot of FOMO when we see how fun those know-it-alls look. Like, obviously, we had our representative Nick Iodanza there on our behalf, but it's painful being across the ocean and watching how fun that looks and not being able to join in. Like, you guys need to come down for an Australian or Kiwi know-it-alls pretty soon.
Yeah, I didn't even realize you guys were having them, but I would definitely come.
But we could.
Yeah. Yeah, because what is it? The Know It Oz?
Yep, Know It Oz. Yeah.
So it was really great to meet Nick. I get to finally meet Nick. We've you know, chatted back and forth in text and stuff like that, but it was really good to meet him and his – is that his wife or his girlfriend?
His wife.
Yeah. She's very sweet. We had a great, nice dinner, and I wish I got more time with him, but I'm sure at some point I'll be down there or he'll be back up here. So
yeah, that's why you have to come for the Know-It-Alls.
I cannot wait. Please. I know, and all you people are so great at putting people up on couches. I think I just saw somebody just tweeted that out.
Andrea.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Andrea wanted to come to stay in Australia. I think she's coming to Melbourne now.
And yeah, she's on the way.
Yeah, I think John Cochrane tweeted and saying he'd never seen anyone crowdsource their own abduction before.
Well, let me tell you something. If any of you guys get a chance to talk to Andrea, she is a lot of fun. We've become good friends. I was on her show a couple of times that she had last year, and she's a blast. For you guys that are into it, she's a beautiful woman. So
yeah, but I mean, she's chosen to go to Melbourne. I'm personally in Sydney. Like, you come to Sydney if you have a few days in Australia, but that's okay. Hope she has a great time, gets to meet some Melbourne fans. Not salty about that at all. All right, let's get into talking about some Survivor New Zealand, because there was so much to talk about again in this episode. Firstly, Brett, have you been liking the season, and who do you like from the cast or not like?
Yeah, you know, I do like the cast. You know, it has been fun. It's kind of reminds me of the early days of American Survivor. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not trying to insult anyone by saying that, but it seems like there's mistakes being made, people learning the game. That reminds me a lot of the early years on American Survivor, which is that's great. That's a good thing. I like that because I love the early years on Survivor because like American Survivor now is just so cutthroat and with gameplay. You just kind of, you know, it takes a lot of the fun out. But I've really been enjoying it. I like this cast. I think they did a good job on casting. Mm-hmm. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. To me, it's really like a middle school Survivor season. There's an old school sensibility, that survival aspect, but there's still some fun twists in gameplay that bring it up a little bit from maybe the early days. Like just the fact that the idol had multiple clues and you didn't just find one in a tree. To me, that's very middle school Survivor and something I miss about Survivor. Like it should be a few steps. So things like that really make me feel like it's not necessarily the glory days of middle school Survivor, but some solid middle school Survivor that we're watching. We talked a bit about how it's different from the US. What have you seen as the major differences between the two franchises?
Well, I will say you could tell the budget, you know, with some of the some of the challenges. But I will say they're doing a good job on what they have with these challenges. They're fun to watch, you know.
Yeah.
What else is different? I think, like I said, the gameplay is pretty much the same. I feel like maybe some of the production's a little not as good, but I'm really enjoying it. I think it's the same game. I think everyone's playing hard. Everyone wants to be there. So it's fun to watch, you know?
Yeah. I mean, obviously a major difference for me is that they have that extra 20 minutes per episode. And I think they're still a little bit unsure about how to structure or how to pace the episodes. Obviously, they have that extra outpost twist, but the structure can be a little bit weird to me. I think they're still working that out. But otherwise, as you said, I think it's been really great. A massive jump from season one. So having a lot of fun with it. But
yeah, well, I hope that if anyone's listening to me who is in charge of this at all, I think I like that there's, you know, don't worry about getting more challenges or more stuff or outposts or whatever. Just show more camp life. That's mm-hmm. what I think we more people are crying for, and I love it too, is I want to see what's going on at camp. The one thing I do really love about this season of New Zealand Survivor, Kiwi Survivor, I'm going to call it, is I love that Matt called it Kiwi Castaways. I think that's a riot.
Matt has a lot of funny things. We'll get to that a bit later in the episode.
I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of us. But no, I think one thing I love is that tree mail. Like I've seen twice, two or three times where they go, hey, we got tree mail. I miss that. And they filmed that when in Millennials vs. Gen X, they filmed us every time. And I don't think they showed it once.
Yeah, it just slows it down a little bit. I mean, if you were to say to me, US Survivor now gets an extra 20 minutes, what do you want to add? I would just say, as you said, give me more camp life. Let me see a little bit more into tribe dynamics because it often feels just so rushed in the US show because we only have 42 minutes. But I think they've added that outpost twist to try and fill the time. And I love the outpost, but I do think more time could just be spent on tribe dynamics. Like it's that simple.
Yeah. I think don't worry so much about filling, just show more camp life. I think camp life is what we all crave for. That's where you see most of the gameplay. And I think that's where a lot of the fun is. So yeah,
I agree. So let's get talking to that camp life. And obviously I have to start talking about Chani, who are the disaster tribe. That last challenge of the episode says it all. And while I was immediately wrong, because last week I said they wouldn't win one other challenge and AK said they would win the next challenge, like credit to him that they did win that next reward challenge. So I lost that bet, but I'm still willing to say that they're the next Oolong because even Oolong won Pringles and a sewing kit. You know, they can win fishing gear, Chani, but if you're going to perform like that in that immunity challenge, you're still the disaster tribe to me.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely are they're having a tough time here. Yeah. And, we've seen it. We've seen this on American Survivor as well. We saw it this year with, the Malolos that could never win anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're seeing that in Ghost Island as well. I mean, it's just, you just, sometimes you get in a rut and it's hard to get out of. It's horrible for you psychologically. You know, when you start losing, you need those good wins. Like I think they won the reward challenge. They needed that. That was huge for them. Mm-hmm. And in going forward, it might help them.
Yeah, but I mean, in modern US Survivor, they swap so much that even if you're losing a lot, you might like get out of that situation through a swap. And while they did swap in the first season of New Zealand Survivor, like I don't feel like I know enough about the context of Survivor New Zealand to say they're definitely going to swap in however many episodes. So I'm like, how long are they going to let them just run into the ground? Because it was just a woeful challenge performance. I think JT had his head in his hands in that immunity challenge. It was just painful. But he did have a really interesting strategy where he kind of talked about the intentional Matt Singh at the beginning of the episode about maybe losing some, you know, of the outer players who aren't in the alliance, but going in with a really strong alliance if you keep losing challenges. Was this something that you think could be good, especially as someone who had some major divides on the original Gen X tribe?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it helps to have that, but I'm telling you right now, it helps to win challenges because you don't want to go there. And the longer you don't go there, the more you're, you know, guaranteed the merge, you know. So you could have the strongest alliance. If you get lower numbers, you're going to start picking each other off. And then you know, you're going to have to be really good when you get to the merge if you have no numbers, you know. So, but, you know, this is a game where anything can happen and you can never give up. And you're seeing that a lot, you know?
Mm. Yeah, but not looking good for Chani at the moment. So let's talk a little bit about everything that went down with them in this episode. Let's start with the fact that Eve finds a clue. She tells everyone about the clue because she didn't realize it would be a clue. Like, every part of that to me is just so terrible.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, that was an honest mistake of somebody that clearly is new to the game, or maybe she's new to watching the game. I don't know, but you know, that is a huge mistake. She knew she made it. She said she made a huge mistake. I don't think there's anyone that will disagree that she made a huge mistake. I mean, the funny thing is that the thing with that immunity, like you said, it was kind of fun that you kind of had to go different. It was kind of like a scavenger hunt. You had to go to different places, try to find it.
That's old school Survivor, like Cerise back across the ocean. That's what idol finding used to be before it was just like, oh, it's right there. It's literally right in front of me.
Yeah, Shannon, I love that. I love that. And I think that's what's great about this. It's raw and it's good. And I'll tell you what did make it fun was the fact that everyone in the tribe was going along with it. Like, can you imagine if it was just her trying to sneak, like, to go dig up one? Shoot, now I got to go dig up another. That would have been so much fun. Like, whoever put that in play was really thinking, because that would add a lot of, you know, chaos to it. She's got to find time to go, you know, dig all these things up. And then finally, now she knows where it is. She's got to go try to do it with no one looking. I mean, it would have been great. Unfortunately, the whole tribe knew about it. It got blown right out of the water. You know?
Do you know what my favorite part about this idol hunt was? Mm-hmm. That the clue was in this like Ziploc bag. Like, that was so low rent. It was crazy.
I know. It's like, but listen, you do it. It's still a great game and it was still fun to watch. I just, like I said, I think, if she, it wasn't fun to watch. It would have been fun to watch if she had to dig all that stuff up herself. So,
yeah, I mean,
you know.
Yep, sorry.
No, you know, the only good thing that came out of that was when they said, oh, we're going to all share this. Nobody's sharing it.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to get their hands on that. And JT was trying, but, you know.
Well, Eve immediately was like, it'll be a tribe idol. But the second her back was against the wall later in this very episode, she was going nuclear about how it was her idol and she would play it. So I think when you're desperate and your back is against the wall, you see whose idol it really is, and certainly isn't a group idol.
Yeah, but I liked that she did that. I was like, good for her. Because I'll tell you what, someone else would have grabbed that from her too, you know? So, I mean, granted, she screwed it up the first time by telling everyone about it. But you know what? When they all said, somebody had said it, I can't remember who, said that, all right, this is your idol or whatever. And she, you know, she felt like, well, I don't feel totally safe. I'm taking it with me. And I like that she did that.
Yeah, but JT spent the whole episode being like, I'm going to get that idol. Like, how did he think? I think maybe he thought if he voted her out, it would maybe pass on to him. And then I think they might have cleared up with production that it would just go back in. But I have no doubt that he probably would have voted her out if it meant he could get the idol.
Oh, no, I totally agree. And the fact that when she read that piece of paper and it said it's not transferable, it really is. Like, you know, we had this question of whether if you had an idol in your bag and someone stole it. Well, no, they can't steal it from you. It's yours. So, like, it was hers the minute she read those. You know, she took it out from under the float and read the note. So, you know, it's her. She should use it. She wants to give it to JT or anybody, then that's up to her, you know?
Yeah, but she must have been kicking herself that she got the clue, read it, and hadn't kept it a secret.
She must have been like, what in the hell? Like, have these people watched Survivor? Like,
clearly not.
Liam
certainly hasn't. Tessa hasn't.
No, Liam hasn't. And I like that kid. He's such a, I love it when he's like, well, I think it was the first episode. So it doesn't seem like anyone's playing.
It's every episode. Literally before every tribal council, we get a Liam confessional where he's like, I don't think there's anything going on. Like, I want to know how many episodes it's going to go where we get that same confessional where he's saying there's nothing happening.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is we don't, you know, I have to remind all the New Zealand fans and people that are watching and, you know, we don't really know. We're only going by, and this is like a disclaimer to everybody that I'm talking about, all these great players from New Zealand who are on the show. You know, I can only talk and we can only critique what we're shown by, what's it called? NVTV or whatever. who's this? What channel is this?
I think NZTV.
Yeah, NZTV. So we don't really know. So we don't know what Liam did out there. We're only going by what they show us, right? And so you're right. What they're showing us is that Liam doesn't realize there's a game going on around him. But and that being said, I like him. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what when he does finally buckle down, what he does, you know?
Well, it's interesting that JT's playing a season 36 game and Liam's playing a sub season 1 game and they're both in the same tribe. Like, that's what I love about a lot of these international versions is in the American version, I assume even if you haven't seen the show, but you're in casting, production will make you watch a few episodes of the American one. But in the Australian one and the New Zealand one, like, you could have seen nothing. And then there are people who've seen everything. So it's just like that massive disparity. And it's funny to watch people like Liam and JT together or Lisa and Tess together, where there's just this like massive, massive gap in knowledge.
Yeah. And I know we're going to talk about Kung Cao. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I love Lisa, so we'll talk about her in a minute.
Everyone loves Lisa. I think it's because she's so likable and also because she's an RHAP patron, but like every guest has come on and said how much they love Lisa, and I agree. It's sad we don't see more of her.
Yeah, I mean, she's just like, because you know she knows the game, she's not flaunting it, she's playing it close to home, and I really like that, you know? But let's get back to Chani, the poor things.
Yeah.
So, I don't believe that they're going to go... Well, they might, but I'm hoping that they don't. And maybe there'll be a tribe swap here that'll save somebody. There's some great characters on here.
Yeah. They need anything. They need a life raft right now.
Yeah, I really like Dave, too. I like Dave. I liked Frankie. Unfortunately, she's gone. But I like Dave. I like that he's got a friend on the other side, which I think is very interesting that they – I wonder if they found that out in casting. Maybe they
didn't.
I'm
certain that they didn't.
Okay.
I think they just made a mistake. A big – funny mistake.
Well, listen, this happened in Millennials versus Gen X.
No.
We had two people.
Who?
Yeah. Mari and Adam went to high school.
Oh,
together.
I kind of did know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, this does happen in America as well. So,
yeah, but Mari and Adam, like, had never met. They went to the same high school but different years, right? Like, Matt and Dave are, like, really good friends. They went to a birthday party together 3 weeks before filming.
You believe that Adam and Mari never met, right?
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Had they met?
I think they must have. They recognized each other immediately. You know what I mean?
Kind of famous. I mean, I don't know. I'm now arguing about Millennials versus Gen X.
Not in high school, though. In high school, she wasn't.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, America's a way bigger place than New Zealand. So if they can make that mistake there and with Patrick and Ali, like...
That's what I'm saying. That's my point to the story is like, yeah, Patrick and Ali. Exactly. So it happens. It does happen. It's going to happen in New Zealand. And I think it's kind of fun. Let's see how it plays out. Will they vote against each other? Will they work together? Well, we don't know.
Yeah, it's comical that it happened in New Zealand, where the reputation is that no one lives there. And the fact that this happened in the second season just like very much confirms that.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
But it might play out good. It might play out great TV. So we'll see, you know?
Yeah. But I want to get into talking about the whole Eve versus Frankie thing, which I really think was the crux of the episode. And you might disagree with me, but I think that both of these women played this episode so badly. I have so many problems with what they did. Do you agree that, I mean, you said you like Frankie. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I love Frankie. But yeah, so here's the thing I noticed about Frankie. As they're walking to tribal, she decides to flip the votes. It's like, or try to vote for somebody else. It's like, that should have been done hours ago. Like when you get two people gunning for each other, you know, that's when you need to start thinking about, okay, well, I don't want to go. She's gunning for me. Who else can go? Who can we get? And, you know, she just didn't have the numbers, not on the way to tribal council. Nobody's going to switch their vote 5 minutes before tribal council, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, Frankie started this episode in that core five alliance. I did say last week I thought she was at the bottom of that alliance, and I think that was proven in this episode. But she was in that five-person alliance, and honestly, in this episode, all she had to do was literally nothing. Like, if she had done nothing, she still would be in the game. She was the one who was like, well, we have an alliance of five, but we're not going to vote out Liam and Renee. What? Why not? That means you're going to vote out one of you, and it probably will be you because you're on the bottom of that alliance. So I don't know why she wasn't happy to just vote out one of the non-alliance peoples in Liam and Renee. She did seem a bit close to Renee, but then at the end, as we saw, threw her under the bus. So she decides to gun for her own alliance member in Eve. Obviously didn't realize how close Eve was to everyone. And also, why would you gun for the one person in your alliance that you know has an idol?
Yeah, well, I think it was also had something to do with the fact that Eve was throwing her name around, right?
I don't think so. Like, it was hard to tell, like, the timeline of things, but I honestly went back, and I think what it was that, well, I mean, they seem to be a lot of bad blood there, but I think, if I were to guess the timeline of it, I think Frankie was threatened by the idol. She didn't like Eve. She liked Renee better, so she threw Eve under the bus, and then I think that JT and Aaron and Eve came back in a counterattack against Frankie, but I do really think that Frankie was the one who instigated it.
Well, you could be right. And again, I think there was a lot more to those two than were shown. But I will say that, you know, I think it's legit to try and get that idol out right now. Everyone's seen it. Everyone knows it's there. It's kind of like lingering. I think that was a legit thing. Like, all right, let's just vote for her and weed the idol. So I think that was a good move. Eve. Yeah, I mean, I think I agree. There's more that both of these ladies could have done. But Eve seemed to have more people on her side. I mean, yeah. Liam even voted with her, right? Liam
it was Ian. Unanimous, yeah. But yeah, I think what it was that Frankie didn't realize how close people were to Eve, and that's where she misjudged it. And I think that she seemed to actually be quite close to Dave and Renee. And I think what switched it and what would have been that pivotal swing vote is that she thought she had a tighter relationship with Aaron. But it seems to me that Aaron, JT, and Eve are the actual core three, and she didn't know that. So I'm actually really impressed with Aaron that he's so close to everyone. He's playing a really quiet game, like he's just behind JT as like his second person, but no one really sees him coming, and he's the one who has all these great relationships, and he was integral to this vote.
I don't know where you're getting so much love for Aaron. And
I thought he was great in this episode.
I mean, they're not really showing him much. I mean, you got a little thing for him? You find him cute or something? I mean, I'm interested. Like, talk to me. I'll listen. I just, I don't see a lot. Like, they're not showing a lot of play with him. And I have a feeling you're right. Maybe we're going to see some more in the future. But I don't know. Now, I will say, definitely JT and Eve are much closer than I think anyone is realizing, you know?
Well, Brett, I have to say that I cannot be influenced strategically by good-looking men. You know, if that were true, then I would have given Matt Chizzy points last week when we saw his butt. But I didn't, okay? So it's all very professional here at RHAP.
I love that thank God they don't show that stuff on American Survivor.
Oh, we don't blow butts here on International Survivor. That's our trademark, no.
Nobody. Oh, yeah, you guys throw them right out there. In American Survivor, thank God they covered it. When I lost my drawers, they covered it up. But, you know, the one thing I'll say about losing Frankie is they lost the only person that could swim. Now, someone explain to me what's going on down there in New Zealand. Because the last time I checked, you guys were surrounded by water, right? How do we have a tribe of people that cannot swim from New Zealand? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. The only thing you guys have to do there is surf, from what I can tell.
Well, I certainly can't surf, but I'm not your normal Bondi girl. But the thing is that voting on strength when you're Chani to me makes no sense, because you could have the best swimmer in the world, and I honestly don't think it would make a difference. Like, they're so much weaker than Kang Kao in every single way that I just think it's pointless to vote on strength.
Well, I think at this point you're right. But yeah.
I mean, if Frankie's throwing your Frankie really didn't trust JT. Like, Eve said in a confessional, I trust JT, and Frankie said I don't. So from JT's perspective, it's great that Frankie is gone. And also, she's not a reliable ally. She threw Eve under the bus, who she was aligned with. She then immediately threw Renee under the bus, who she said she had a really good relationship with. So I wouldn't really want to work with her. And the fact that, yes, she might be a stronger swimmer, but you're already so outgunned, it wouldn't be enough for me to keep her around.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that, too, about Renee. Like, that's the one thing when I said, because I was on Team Frankie. But when I saw her turn, like the one person who was like going to vote with her, and then she turned and threw her right under the bus when she was worried about herself. So,
yeah, I mean, that there's was a desperation lot, there's some, personified.
Yeah. But I mean, listen, it's a crazy game. But I still can't figure out it. Like, I cannot believe how poorly that challenge went. Like,
oh, my God.
You just it's like
it's embarrassing.
Is anybody like not like let's put this out there. Anyone listening on New Zealand who's even contemplating going on Survivor, go learn how to swim. Nobody should get on Survivor, whether it's American, Australian or New Zealand or wherever. If you can't swim, it just shouldn't happen. And I'm not beating you guys up because there's plenty of people on my season that couldn't swim. So but it's just ridiculous. Learn how to swim, win the challenges and press on.
Yeah, but Brett, I think I saw some similarities here to this core alliance breaking up, even though they had people to vote out who weren't in the alliance. Like, did you see any similarities to, for example, Jess and those women turning on Paul when you guys were aligned and you could have just taken out Cece or David?
Yes.
Did you see the similarities there?
Yeah, I did. I did see some similarities. And yeah, I mean, but, you know, like I said, the funny thing about this game is you just never know. Anything can happen and you have to be prepared for it. And that's kind of what, you know, we had an easy thing marching forward on Millennials versus Gen X. And, you know, everything was good. We had a tight alliance. And then Jess, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, swings the vote towards Paul because she had a bad conversation with him. Mm-hmm. And she didn't tell anyone in her alliance. Well, you can't do that. You know, that scares everyone going forward, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what Frankie did what would have been in Millennials versus Gen X is if you guys found out Jess was doing that before the poll vote and then came for her and got her out in that episode, because I really feel like that's what happened to Frankie.
Okay. I guess I'd have to watch it again because I don't see all that in the episode. But
yeah, because I was thinking, why can't they just vote out Liam and Renee? So I went back to see who was the person who said, we can't vote out Liam and Renee because they're handy members of the tribe.
And it was Frankie?
Yeah, it was Frankie. So if no one else was thinking that, I feel like if she'd just done nothing, I guess the idol is a problem, but it's kind of an unsolvable problem for now. It is in the hands of an ally. Like, if she'd done nothing, I really just think they would have got rid of, like, a Renee. And obviously she was willing to do that because she threw her name
She's probably more aligned with them, so that's why she wants them to stick around.
Yeah, but she fell on her sword now for Renee. Like, that obviously wasn't worth it.
Yeah, no, nothing's working. You have to start, you know, in a situation like that, it's got to be anybody but me. You know what I mean? That kind of. So we'll see. I mean, I hope they get a swap coming up because there's some really good characters on here.
Mm-hmm.
JT, I like Dave. You know, I like Eve. I like this whole tribe. So I don't want to see them get wasted away here. You know,
you like Aaron?
I do like Aaron. Yes, I do.
You're allowed to like Aaron, but I can't like Aaron.
I didn't say you can't like Aaron. I said you're giving him way too much credit.
He was really good in this episode.
How was I going to watch this again?
Okay,
Aaron,
because
I'm sure you're a wonderful
to
guy.
Him, and she obviously really trusted him as like her person in her alliance. And he was the one who found out her whole plan because she came to him because she trusted him so much. But he also was really tight with even JT. So I think he and JT are controlling the tribe, but he's just not as obvious as JT, because JT's on everyone's radar and Aaron's on no one's radar, not even your radar.
I don't think JT's on anyone's. I mean,
no,
he should be on everyone's radar, but I mean, I think
he's laid low this episode, which was good.
Well, the conversations he's actually doing very well with kind of like trying to tone it down, which I think is great, you know, because we know, the viewers know how much of a super fan he is, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, in this episode, I just had to note that, like, every time anyone had a conversation, it seemed like JT was part of it. Like, and he's the instigator of everything. It feels like everyone's just sheep following him and no one's taking initiative except for him. So I thought that he's got, like, a finger in every single pot of this tribe. I thought he was really good at tribal council. Like, he was really, really frustrating Matt, but he was giving those good non-answers. He also said, you know, that he like, blatantly referenced the anyone but me strategy. So there was a lot to like from JT in this episode as well. I just kind of keep praising JT. Like, I have to give Aaron some credit too. Like, JT hears how much I like him every episode. Aaron, I love you too.
Yeah, I tell you, the Tribal Council was frustrating me because they weren't giving him anything. And I'll tell you what, I give Matt a lot of credit for putting up with it, because I'll tell you right now, Jeff would have shut everything right down. Mm-hmm. He is not, that would not have happened. What was going on there?
Over Matt, it's not cool.
No, and you can tell. And that's, I like Matt, and I mm-hmm. think he's doing a great job of calling them out. And, mm-hmm. and he definitely should, because it's not, as we can see, we all know, it's not all roses over there. There's a lot of cracks. There's a lot of problems there.
Yeah, he's like, I've watched 24 hours of footage. Like, I know that there aren't, that there are alliances, but please tell me. And they just wouldn't give him nothing.
Right. I know. It was crazy. I was getting frustrated watching it too. But, you know, I think Aaron could be doing some more stuff that we don't know about. You're right. It does seem to be that he's kind of a pivot guy. Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to like him, and we'll see what happens with that going forward.
Yeah, you know? I'm an Aaron truther, and I won't stop until everyone is as well.
Right. All right. Yeah. He's easy on the eyes, right?
Yeah. Jim? Well, it's all really professional here at RJP, Brett. I'm telling you.
No, but listen, I'm open to Aaron being, you know, the best survivor ever. I just want to see it. You know.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll see more. I was actually worried that he was going to get found out in this episode, because while it looked like he was the swing vote, because for a while it looked like it was Frankie and she had Dave and Renee, and then there was JT, Eve, and Liam, and then Aaron was the swing vote. And I thought if it was a 4-3 vote, I was like, damn, Aaron's whole game is going to get blown up here. But then once it was unanimous, I was like, okay, that gives him room to hide. So I hope he can keep playing that really strong, very quiet game for a while.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a fan of the, you know, if he's playing everyone, right, and he's got a strong social game, then I am a fan of him, because the social game wins every time. Mm-hmm. And if that's what you're trying to tell me he's doing, then mm-hmm. I would have to be on the Aaron train, because I think that's what's going to get you far in the game.
Yeah. So just big question about this vote. Do you think it's the right decision to keep Eve with the idol in the game? You know where the idol is, your ally has it. Take out Frankie, who's an unreliable ally, or do you think it would be better to just blindside her and get that idol out of the game?
Get the idol out of the game. Mm-hmm. Absolutely get that out of the game. Mm-hmm. It's early. That can screw you up later on in the game. Everyone, listen, an idol that everyone knows about is no good. I don't understand why, even this season in American Survivor, everyone is, oh, I got an idol. Oh, my God, I got half an idol. Oh, I got this, I got that. Shut up. Take your idol and shut up. Don't tell anyone, and then when they least expect it, pull it.
Yeah,
that's the best way to play an idol in Brett LaBelle's book, right?
Yeah.
So this to me, this idol's no good to any of them. They should do just throw it in the water, get rid of it, get it away from everyone. Because I'll tell you what, it put a target on Eve. She's got a target on her.
This idol will ruin her. That's what my
exactly.
prediction is.
It's going to ruin her game. She mm-hmm. needs to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And she should have just played it no matter what last week and just got rid of it.
Yeah, that probably would have been good. And actually, AK, who we had on last week, did something similar where he just wanted to get that threat off his back. So he just played the idol in episode 2. And I think that probably would have been good for her. But it's so hard to do that when Chani are down in the numbers and there might be a swap. And it's hard to give up that lifeline when you see your numbers dwindling so fast.
And can I just say I love AK? I'm a big fan. I watched mm-hmm. that season.
AK's the best.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him a lot, yeah.
Do you know what I wondered? This last thing about the idol is it was in the reward, right? But Kunkel already mm-hmm. found their idol, so what if they'd won the reward? Would they have got another idol clue? Yeah, I don't know. Is there another idol at Kunkel? Like, is this truly US Survivor right now where there are three idols in the game?
Could be. So where did they get... So the clue was given at what? At the...
It was in the fishing reward. That Chani won.
Yeah,
I
that's
wonder if Kunkel had won and they'd had the fishing reward, would they have
Shannon, it has to. It has to. Either that or...
I don't know. These are things that keep me up at night.
Oh, no. You know what they would have done? They probably would have taken it out.
Do you think?
They probably would have taken it out. Yeah. I can't imagine they're going to have more than one idol per tribe in play. You know?
Yeah. Although maybe they just really want to be like US Survivor and they'll just be like 40 idols. Like last season with New Zealand Survivor, there were no idols at all. And we were like, this is terrible, really boring. And now it's going to be like, be careful what you wish for.
God, I hope not. I hope not. Like it's just, you know, I don't mind them throwing them in. They're exciting. They help people out. It's a lifeline. But don't overdo it. Yeah. Like right now, American Survivor is completely out of control with it. Completely out of control.
Yeah.
You know, and they want to see another Suri get idled out. That's what they want to see. So
And no one else wants that.
So, no, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. So let's switch now and talk about Konkal, who are loving life as the victors of almost every challenge this season. To me, the entire storyline is pretty much just about how everyone hates Dylan, and my heart goes out to him. Like, I feel so bad for him.
Yeah, I feel bad for Dylan, too.
Yeah, it's hard not to. Like, he's a fan, he loves the game, and we haven't seen him be mean or do anything bad, and we just hear about how much people don't like him. Like, I think I have in my notes a few times here, poor Dylan.
Yeah, you know what? I feel bad for Dylan, too, but I got to be honest. If Konkal does happen to go to Tribal, I don't think he's going to be the first one to go. So,
Who do you think it would be?
I don't know, but a lot of times these people that everyone thinks would be, like, everyone's going, we're going to get rid of him, we're going to get rid of him, and then that just doesn't happen.
You know? Well, I think I see some similarities from Dylan to David Wright in your, like, early Gen X the Tribe. Do you agree with that?
Yes, but Dylan's has a lot more weight and is, you know, doesn't seem as nervous as my little guy.
Could anyone be as nervous? Sorry.
No.
No shade to David Wright, one of my favorite ever.
David's the best. He's my boy. We talk all the time. I love that kid.
Yeah, but so the thing about Konkal in this episode was all about this Dylan and Keisha strategy that they have, where Keisha went up to Dylan and was like, I'm going to throw you under the bus and drag your name through the mud. And it's part of this, like, strategy we have together. And then I can give you information and we won't look as close. Like, if I was Dylan, I would be like, could you not do that? Like, that sounds terrible.
I didn't like that at all. Who did that? That was Keisha.
Yeah,
like, she's supposed to be, like, if you're aligned with someone and you don't want anyone to know, that's fine. Just don't talk about it. You can't start. If you start trashing somebody, you're not doing them any favors. And it's not, you know, if you're aligned with someone that you're trashing, it's only hurting your team, you know, your alliance. So that was the most ridiculous thing I ever saw. And I almost question whether she really wants to be aligned with them or she just wants a whipping boy so that she, you know, she's not the first to go.
Oh, I definitely think that she has more than one foot out the door of that alliance with Dylan, because it's like people like in South Pacific where you make Cochran the double agent and then he just does flip. Like, she's just saying right now that, you know, throwing his name under the bus. But if it comes time to vote for him, I'm sure she would do it. And honestly, I think that probably is the best strategy for her, and she's trying to integrate into the majority. So I can't fault it. But it certainly isn't for Dylan's benefit, as she's trying to sell it to him, that she's, like, completely ripping him to the entire tribe.
No, it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. And I don't believe for 1 minute that she's going to help him either. I think she'd vote for him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. What would you do if Chris Hammonds came up to you and was like, for your own good, I'm going to be dragging your name through the mud to everyone on the tribe?
Yeah, I'd kick his ass. it's the most ridiculous, if I could. That's a big boy right there. No, I mean, it's just, it doesn't happen. Like there was me and Adam Klein, we're secret lovers. No, I'm just kidding. We were a secret alliance. And right after the merge, we just happened to, you know, Adam and I, you know, we connected in pregame. You can't talk, but you could kind of, you know, see, look, you know, you know, kind of nod, whatever. But I thought he was a nice kid then. And so after the merge, we kind of got together and you know, we made a deal. Hey, listen, we're both working different sides here. You know, well, I'll keep you informed if they're coming after you. You keep me informed if they're coming after me. And pretty much what we did was try to keep people off each other. But never once did we trash each other. Like, I wouldn't go out and say, oh, that kid Adam sucks, blah, blah. Like, a couple times, Sunday wanted him bad. She wanted him out bad. And poor Sunday got a horrible edit, but she worked her ass off out there. Mm-hmm. And she wanted him out bad. And I kept saying, he's not a threat. We could beat him. You know, just, you know, I wanted to get him off, because at the same time, Jess is coming after me and Adam's getting her off of me. So, you know, those do work, but you can't trash the person because it's not going to help any way. You know?
I feel like the last thing Dylan needs is more people trashing him, surely.
Like, yeah.
That's not bad enough.
I don't know what, like, I'm not seeing Of course, we're not out there 24/7, but I'm not seeing why nobody likes him. But we're not out there 24/7.
Yeah.
It's different when you're out there with these people for 24/7. I think he seems a little shocked that people don't like him too.
Yeah, and I think to me the edit is trying to show that it might be a bit unfair because we haven't seen him do anything terrible. They showed everyone bitching about how he wasn't looking for the fruit with them, but they also showed Adam saying, "Oh, I'm like going to go to sleep and not look for the fruit," and no one cared about that. So I think they might be indicating that it's a little bit unfair. And I also think Keisha's not even doing the strategy well because Matt was already onto her saying how suspicious it was. So I thought that was pretty switched on from Matt. And no, not just because I think he's good looking. I'm going to just preface it by saying that. But I thought that was, he seems pretty switched on.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I love that Adam claims, and I do like Adam a lot. He cracks me up.
He mentioned watermelon again in this episode. It's overkill with a watermelon.
Well, listen, a guy's got a tattoo of a watermelon on his sleeve. I think two watermelons on his arm. He's going to talk about watermelons, so we're just going to have to deal with it, and that's fine. But I love that he says, he's like, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing a thing. I'm just hoping nobody's recognizing it. And it's great, and he just keeps getting higher and higher in the hierarchy there. But I think what it comes down to is personality and, again, social game. And I think Adam's got that on point right now.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, I guess two people could do the same thing. Like, they both weren't searching for the fruit, but it just comes down to the where you sit socially in the tribe, and that makes everyone perceive it really differently because no one seemed mad at Adam, but everyone was mad at Dylan.
Yes, exactly. I think that Adam's making everyone laugh out there. He's helping people to pass the time. Yeah. And, you know, Dylan went over and I like Dylan. I'm rooting for him. But he went over and sat down and sulked on the beach, which they made a big comment about. But it's true. Like, that is not where you need to be. That's drawing more attention to you than you need. And of course, we're just, again, I don't really know what happened in that scene. We're just going by what we're told, you know.
Yeah, but I do feel for him because it's so negative and everyone's so anti him. So when he tries to remove himself from the situation, he makes it even worse. So it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, I don't like his chances in the long run if we don't have a swap coming up. I think a swap will help him huge.
Yeah, because he could get to a point, as we've said, where he could align with someone like JT, who seems to be his strategic kindred spirit. And, you know, if Chani come in to a merge or a swap and they're down in the numbers, they could maybe combine with that, you know, that group that aren't in the main alliance on Kung Kao. So like the Lisas and the Taras and the Dylans, and I guess Keisha, if that, you know, if they can mend that rift between Dylan and Keisha, and then they could have a majority. So I think he's a smart guy and he'd have a lot of room to maneuver if he got to that point, but it's just about surviving those few days. I mean, you were on the bottom at Ikebula, not due to social dynamics like this, but because of the initial tribe divisions. What would you say Dylan can do just to get himself to emerge like you did?
Well, it's all making connections, right? Like, I was on the bottom. Myself and Sunday were on the bottom, but we were two. We were going to vote the same way. We always voted the same way, except for one vote. So I think that, like, for us, I knew right away we needed to make connections. She needed to make connections. She had the church thing going. So she went, Will's very religious. She worked Will. Mm-hmm. I worked Jay. Jay and I are kind of party animals. You know, I'm a little older than him, but he's from Fort Lauderdale. I go to Fort Lauderdale all the time. I have friends in Fort Lauderdale. I know every bar. I've been going there for years. So we knew restaurants. We knew, like, I knew beaches that he goes to. Like, I knew his town like the back of my hand, and he really liked that. And it was a connection that we could really get to know each other, you know. And so by the midweek, you know, that scene when it looks like I'm going home, that took one day when they were asking me about being a cop. The rest of it was me and Jay bonding and having a great time out there and becoming bros. And I'm telling you right now, by Wednesday, I knew, I had a good feeling that we were good. You know, and I didn't know it was going to be Michaela. I actually thought it was going to be Hannah because Hannah was pissing everyone off. But, you know, but that's what you need to do. It's all relationships. It's social game. He needs to stop sulking and get up and go talk to people, you know, find out, you know, that'll save you, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure they have bars and beaches in common because, as I understand it, New Zealand is very small. So
yeah.
I'm sure that they could find some stuff in common, right?
Well, I hope to God there's bars in New Zealand, because when I come, I wanna make sure I'm on the beach drinking a beer somewhere. And I'll tell you, I am jealous of you people. They don't have snow there, right?
I've never seen snow in my entire life.
Oh my God, I want to be you.
No, I want to see snow. It's sad. I'm 25. I've never seen snow.
We've had snow. No, it's not sad. You don't want to see snow. We just got rid of snow about a month ago. And now it's starting to get nice again. But, oh, my God, like that looks like the most beautiful place on earth with beautiful, lush mountains. And didn't they film Jurassic Park there in New Zealand?
New Zealand? Yeah, they definitely filmed like Lord of the Rings there.
Oh, my God, Lord of the Rings. I got to go there. That's my next stop. I went to Australia, and I absolutely loved it. I thought it would be a one-time trip. I can't wait to get back. But I'm definitely stopping off in New Zealand and checking that out.
This is when we're going to do Know-It-Alls.
That's right. Is Know-It-Alls in New Zealand?
Well, I've invented it in this podcast, so I guess it could be anywhere.
I think it should be. I'm going to call it. Let's get a bar in New Zealand. What's the wherever it is, you guys pick it. Hopefully on a beach somewhere, and we'll do the Know-It-Alls.
Okay. Wait. So you came to Australia. What was your favorite Australian city that you visited?
Well, I went.
Answer carefully.
You can't hurt me. You're thousands of miles away.
I couldn't hurt you anyway.
No, I'm just kidding, Shannon. But no, I did love Sydney.
Okay.
And
I'm a Sydney girl.
You know why I love Sydney? Because I went there in February, right after my show aired. And I couldn't believe how many Survivor fans actually recognized me in Sydney, Australia. It was absolutely bizarre.
What a really good community in New Zealand and Australia. Like all the major cities, there are viewing parties, there are trivia nights. Like we love Survivor here.
But to be sitting down eating dinner and have people come up and recognize me, it was just insane. And it was just so awesome. But it's not only that, it's like so beautiful. And then I went up to the Gold Coast and stayed with Flick. We had a blast, her and her boyfriend. Her boyfriend's American. Mm-hmm. Real nice.
Isn't it Ben Reed's brother?
Yeah, it's Ben Reed's brother.
I love that. Yeah. That's so random. Oh, yeah.
I know, it is so random. It's so funny. But it's like a little like family they have going there. Mm-hmm. JJ's a great guy, too, her boyfriend. Just wonderful people. But And then Phoebe tried to kill me in Sydney Harbour. So I must say,
wait, what?
Oh, yeah, Phoebe tried to murder me.
How?
She told me she was going to stick a needle in my eye and she would inject some sort of poison. Because then nobody would find the needle stick.
Oh, my God.
She's a very bizarre woman. Yeah, she's very bizarre.
I'm surprised you want to come back here. Or at least back to Oceania.
Besides, as long as you guys keep me away from Phoebes, I'll be fine.
Okay, well, I'll do my best. We'll get, like, a security detail.
Thank you. Yes, and then when we were at... in Florida for Give Kids the World, she tried to attack me there, but I had the police come in and they intervened.
You are the police.
No, I know, but I have no jurisdiction in Florida. I'm a police officer in Boston, so
I don't know how Phoebe can like be so dangerous.
Well, she's a strong woman. She's a strong woman. She's no joke. Stay away from her.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. I have met her briefly, and she didn't threaten to kill me in that brief conversation that we had. So,
she's probably really nice. She's just reeling you in. She's like a black widow spider.
Oh my God, we've learned so much about this. All right, back to the New Zealand.
Yeah, back to New Zealand. Sorry. But I love it. I'm dying to get to New Zealand. But the whole moral of this story is I'm dying to get to New Zealand because I really love Australia, and I hear New Zealand is off the charts beautiful. So
you
I'm
have
dying
so
to
many people
there.
Who are going to hold that? Hold you to that
listen.
Now.
They can. I want them to tweet me because I'm coming down there. I want to sleep on your couch.
Gonna be an influx.
Put Brett LaBelle on your couch.
Okay.
You know? Have plenty of beers in the fridge.
Okay. Let's get to the outpost. So, are you liking the twist of the outpost? Because personally, I said last week that I feel like it's what Ghost Island should be because there's so much fun strategic layers, whereas Ghost Island is kind of like a binary decision.
All right. So I'm open to the outpost. Let me put it that way.
All right.
I'm frustrated with Ghost Island. I love the idea of Ghost Island, and it's gone downhill for me. It's been a dud, okay? Mm-hmm. I like the outpost. I feel like it's – I have something in my notes here. I feel like it's missing something. I don't know. It's like a lost opportunity. I shouldn't say that. It's not – I feel that the – I shouldn't say that. It's a great opportunity. I liked it. It gets two people together, but it seems like the people that have been going there – it's been a lost opportunity. Like, take Keisha and Eve went there, right? Mm-hmm. The two of them looked like they couldn't stand each other. They wouldn't talk to each other. It's like, folks, we're playing a game here. There's a merge is going to come. If you're both there, this would be a time to kind of work something out here. So I don't know if there's some history with these two in casting. I don't know what's going on. But, like, they couldn't even, like, talk it out, you know?
I know.
And, like, this is such an – it's such a great time to say, all right, listen – talk to me. What's going on? Let's work something out here. Let's get something going for the merge. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's so crazy because Keish is down in the numbers and Eve is on Chani, which is dwindling by the second. Like, you'd think that they both have a really good reason to reach out to each other, but they were just so cagey with each other. Like, they wouldn't let anyone in.
Yeah, and like, he's saying to them, listen, we don't care what you tell the tribes. Come up with something, right?
Yeah.
Come up with something. But I think actually, I think Eve played it right, right? Because, or Keisha played it right, right? By telling the truth, I thought. And then she tells the truth and nobody believes her. So yeah. It's like, you can't really win with this. It's kind of it's a bad thing in that way. You know what I mean? Like telling the truth, nobody believes you anyway. So
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like this, if somebody gets out there that knows what they're doing, this could be a great thing.
Yeah, well, JT seemed to do okay with it last week. And Eve, we didn't even see her come back to her tribe, so I guess they just believe that she lost. But I did say...
Tess?
Yeah,
sorry,
Tess is mattress lie, as we've made fun of a lot.
No, but yeah, but Tess, like, come on, read the note before you share it. Like, and you're right, I got to give JT credit on that one. But
yeah,
like, my God, these people are playing like they're playing against Richard Hatch. It's insane.
Also, last week I made a lot of fun of Tess's mattress lie, and I still think it's hilarious, especially seeing the reward this week. Like, Keisha would have been like, oh, we get these gross jelly things and brownies. Tessa said we get mattresses. And I also realized that I should have been calling her Mattess, like mattress, yeah. But Tess, because I want the whole mattress lie to be the defining characteristic of her personality because I'm so obsessed with it. But I did say last week that the outpost is fun because even if they do something like this where it's just a reward, now no one will believe them because it was so sketchy last week with the idol. And that's exactly what happened. And that's why I said it once and I'll say it again. Never go to the outpost. It is a lose-lose situation unless you have absolutely nothing to lose, like a Dylan or Kyla last week where you're just on the bottom and you have nothing and you need something. Then even Keisha to a degree is on the bottom, but she did have something to lose because she was integrating into that majority and now seems really sketchy. But if you have nothing to lose, go. Otherwise, avoid the outpost like the plague, because even Keisha told the truth and no one believed her.
I know. And if or go there and smear brownies all over her face so when you come back.
I know. She came back and was like, look at my stomach. Like, nope.
Yeah, it's like that. She brushed her teeth. Like, what are you doing? Like, just like, it was just so funny how, like, I was like, all right, if I came back from here, you'd have to tell the truth because you know what, the merge, the truth's going to come out and it could hurt you. So, you know, and the fact that if those two could have come to an agreement, right, about a lie, then I'd say lie. Right. Mm-hmm. I would have said lie. But the fact that that Eve and Keisha were both like, we're not going to work together. So it's like, all right, Keisha, you can't go back and lie, because if Eve ever gets a chance, she's going to tell him what happened there. And then you look like a jerk. So I think she played it right. But then she played it wrong because no one believed her. It's the most bizarre thing in the world.
But I have an emergent strategy for how people could have believed her. And this is it. It's very gross, but I'm willing to go there. She ate these brownies and these weird Jello, blue, and did that look appetizing to you? Like, that looked completely disgusting to me. Like, completely inedible.
I don't think you should go where you're going, but go ahead.
She should vomit, and her stew will be pink and blue, and she'll be like, please analyze my vomit. It's clearly pink and blue. I'm clearly telling the truth. Right?
Well, that's an option, you know?
I think she will vomit anyway, because that's a lot of sugar on an empty stomach, and it looked so disgusting. And I think that if she vomits, that would be the best thing for her game.
Yeah, you might be right. You might be right. I don't. I'm actually shocked they didn't believe it. Like, who doesn't believe somebody just says, I just totally filled my belly and you guys get none? Like, I guess because they're all thinking that there's an idol out there.
Yeah,
like,
why
they
would she lie about that? That's like, yeah, a really
who's
mean
gonna
lie? Lie.
Like, who's gonna, like, I would never want to go back and say. I remember when we had something like the outpost, but it was like a summit,
the summit,
right?
Yeah.
So. And when they come back, they're all like, well, we're going to, like, they did not want to tell us that they ate peanut butter jellies all afternoon. They did not want to tell us. Like, they felt so bad about it. So for you to come back, like, you, if someone comes back and says, listen, I just engorged myself and I just ate tons of sweets and then you kind of have to believe them because, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was so funny that nobody believed her.
That's why I racked my brain and came up with the vomit strategy.
Yeah, that's a good, I like that strategy. But I tell you, I think it's just that, like, no matter, I think they're so nervous about that thing, no matter what you come back, they're not going to believe you.
I completely agree. Like, they're looking for the lie, and also Keisha's on the bottom anyway, so it's not like Matt or Brad went where they'd probably have a tendency to believe them more. Like, they're already pretty iffy on Keisha, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, her coming back with nothing and then just being like, feel my stomach is not going to be enough for them to believe her.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're getting something really good out of these things, or if we have good conversations between two opposite tribe mates, I feel like this is going to be a dud as well.
You know? No, actually, I completely disagree, because I think, as you said, they don't believe them. So every week someone's going to come back and there's going to be doubt. And I think there could be some really interesting strategic ramifications.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it, I guess. Yeah.
And put a better player in that situation. Like, obviously, JT has already gone and you can't send someone back to the outpost. But put a Dylan in that situation and he's not just standing there saying nothing. You know, put any better player in that situation. And I think there are a few really good players. I think they could take full advantage of it.
Yeah, because I think what the outpost really gives you is something for the future, right? I really don't think anything, you know, maybe you're getting an idle clue, which now we think there's probably no more idle clues coming. But, you know, what possibly are you getting besides the chance to talk to someone on the other side? Like, that's the most important thing that they're doing there. Mm-hmm. And nobody's taking advantage of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, JT and Tessa felt really bad about each other afterwards. There was no connection made between Keisha and Eve, but I do think that at a point we're going to see two people go there and there'll be some relationship made.
I hope you're right.
Okay, Brett, now let's get into everyone's favorite segment, which is Chismisms, where we document the funny and weird things that Matt Chisholm says every week. Last week I said that I was a bit upset that no one was hashtagging Chismisms. This week people did hashtag it. Thank you so much for that. And someone even sent in their own Chismism before the recording of this podcast. So, I mean, that's pretty much why I'm doing that. So thank you to that person who was Luke Froze on Twitter. And he says that he thinks it's funny that Matt says stand down instead of sit out. And that is funny, Luke. Thank you for sending that in.
Yeah, I like stand down, though. Like, I like that he's different than.
Oh, we love Jizzy. But we have to document
I think he's great. I got to be honest. Like, I think he's great. And yeah. I think he's very, like, he reminds me of Jeff a lot. Like, I think it's way happier.
Right?
Yes, way happier. But he's definitely in control. I like him a lot. I like watching him. I think he's good. And I like stand down. Like, get your own words. You know what I mean? This is cool. Right. And you know, I'm also a military guy, so stand down to me, that's something that we use all the time. So,
You know, when I created this Chismism segment in week one, I was like, is Matt Chisholm going to say enough funny and weird things every week to make this a proper segment? And 3 weeks in, I think definitely yes.
Yeah, like Kiwi Castaways, I loved in the beginning. I wrote that right down. I thought that was awesome.
All right, okay, so here were the funny ones I have from this week. This was the best line of the episode. He said, JT has those shorts riding right up. He means business.
I did hear that one. Yeah, that was funny.
JT looks so adorable with like fully tucked in shirt. Just like,
oh my God. Well, he had another great line. You'll probably get to it.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I've got a few, but, you know, I probably didn't get to them all because that's how good Chizzy is. He said chocker in the reward. Do you know what chocker means, Brett?
I've seen it on shirts and stuff, but I'm not. It's like, I don't know. What is it?
It's like full, like chock-a-block. Like if something's chock-a-block, okay. Like maybe like traffic could be chock-a-block.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So that's good. That's different.
It's like British slang that we Australians and Kiwis have adopted. I think we should start having it in the drink tally because it's every single episode. And I'm wondering, I'm like, is this how all New Zealand people speak or is it just Matt Chisholm? Because I have to think it's just Matt Chisholm. Like none of the other 18 castaways are saying, you know, the idol's hidden in the drink. It's like, is this just Matt?
Yeah, but there was a couple of cool, I saw somebody was made some funny comments. But no, I mean, I don't know. I can't answer that, Shannon, because I am from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm not a Kiwi. So
yeah,
I
neither
can't
am I. So we're both mostly unqualified.
I'm sorry. I want to answer that question, but I can't.
Yeah, if it's hard for me, it must be like even harder for you. So to understand what he's saying. He also said, I said the JT line was the best line, but I think this might have been better. He's trying to get the information out of them at Tribal Council, and he says, look us in the beaties. That was great.
Yes.
Did you get what he meant by that?
No, I had no idea.
Like, in the beady eyes.
Beady eyes, yeah.
Amazing. And also, this isn't a Chisholm thing, but I really didn't have anywhere else to put it. I find it funny that the voting urn is like comically huge. Did you notice this? And if you did,
yes,
please
yes,
check next
did,
week.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
massive.
It is huge. But listen, I'm sure that the production goes and looks for these props and they take what looks coolest. And I'm sure that looked coolest at the time. So, but it's rather large.
I feel bad for Matt Chisholm like having to get the urn and bring it. Like it's a massive urn.
Well, listen, he's going to have to work out, you know, he's going to have to work out a little bit and stay in shape, but I'm sure they're paying him well enough. He'll work it out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows in New Zealand, honestly, but we love Matt Chisholm, and to soften the blow of the Chismisms every week where we make fun of him with love, we then go straight into the Chizzy, which is an award that we named after him just to show how much we love him here at RHAP. So Brett, we are doing an award here at RHAP where we're going to do like the Fishy or the Danzy, but it's the Chizzy for the best player of the week. We do 3 votes for the best player, 2 votes for the second best, 1 vote for the third best. And then at the end, I'm going to tally up all the votes and the winner is going to be the winner of the final Chizzy.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I have no prize for the ultimate Chizzy winner at the moment. My boyfriend was like, you should make a trophy for the winner. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do that, but I bet you if JT wins, he'll make his own trophy. But could we give them a LaBelle's lobster hat?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. There That's what they'll get.
What a prize. Well, I know that they'll care so much about that. And I think that if they didn't want to win before, they definitely will want to win now.
Yeah, and it's, let me just tell you, the quality of hat is so much nicer than a, it's actually made in Boston by a Boston company. Unlike that Wiggler Wombat hat, it's just no good. It's night and day, night and day.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. I did try valiantly to win a Wiggler's Wombat hat, and it still evades me. It's painful, but it's fine because it's not a good hat. LaBelle's Lobster, way better.
You want a LaBelle Lobster hat. You want a LaBelle, especially when you people are down by the sea and the ocean, you want a LaBelle's Lobster hat.
Okay,
you
know? So the winner of the Chizzy is going to get a LaBelle's Lobster hat, and thank you for, I didn't have a prize, so that solves that.
Well, that's the prize, and everyone's hopefully they love it, and it'll make me feel better that a LaBelle Lobster hat is down under in New Zealand somewhere.
Okay, so my Chizzy points for this week, and they mean even more now. Like, I'm sure that the cast is absolutely on pins and needles to see who gets
the
points.
Well, how could they not be? It's, you know what I mean? How could they not be?
Yeah. So I'm giving 1 point to Matt. I like that he's in the majority, but he's got that side thing with Keisha. He's obviously got the connection to Dave. So he's in a really good spot, and he just seemed really switched on. He could immediately tell that Keisha was being suspect. So I saw enough from him in this episode to give him a point.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we're just getting to this now, but I really like Matt, too. And I know we haven't talked about
him.
Well, that always helps, of course. But I don't have to, you know, do a thing about Rob as a, you know, RHAP. We don't do that because I'll tell you, in Brett LaBelle's house, we do that. So, but I really think that this, I'm really excited for this Matt and Dave to get connected. I really am. And I can't wait for that episode because I really think it. I think these guys are really, if they keep it quiet, and I hope, and I know they are. I know they are. These are two smart individuals. I think it's really going to help them in the long run, you know?
Yeah. So that's a point for Matt. For the 2 points, I'm going to JT. I know that I give him points every week, but he's also in control of the tribe that keeps going to tribal council. So it's hard not to. Yeah, I talked a lot about how well he did this episode. You know, he got rid of Frankie, who didn't trust him. He kept Eve, his ally, who does trust him. Frankie didn't. So I think it was a good outcome for him. And I think that, as always, he and Aaron are in control at Chani. So, yeah, he was in every conversation. He talked about, you know, anyone but me, the intentional Matt Singh. His mind's just always working. And I have to reward that kind of strategic force that he's currently bringing to the game.
Yeah, no, I like that. So I gave awards, and I'm new to this, so everyone bear with me. But of course, I'm going to give some to JT. I think he's playing a good game. I think he's staying under the radar as much as he can right now, which for you know, super fans, it's tough. But I feel like I think he's playing it pretty cool over there. So I'm giving him a point.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give Eve a point for the fact that she didn't use the idol. I really thought she was going to use the idol, so I was very impressed. Like I know a lot of people are yelling at me, like blah blah blah, but I'm telling you, you know, she was smart enough to take it back and keep it as her own. And I cannot believe, I'm shocked that she was confident enough not to use it at Tribal Council.
That's a good point.
Even though I think that she should have. She didn't, and she still has it in her pocket. And if anyone thinks that's a tribe idol, they're completely insane. That's her idol.
Mm-hmm.
So now, who do I give the third one to?
Well,
good points. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give my 3 points to, I think this will come as no surprise, to Aaron. I've talked this whole podcast about how I love his game. And yeah, everyone seems like they're close to him and he's not in the spotlight like JT, but he's controlling things, I think, probably with Eve as well. Like, it's probably him and JT and then Eve a little way down. So I think those three are really in control. I love his social game. So for me, I'm giving 3 points to Aaron. Have I managed to convince you to get on the Aaron train or no?
Well, look, I don't want to beat up on Aaron, but I am not convinced to be on the Aaron train because I'm not seeing everything that you are seeing, but that's fine. I mean, I'm hoping you're right because I feel like if he is that social and everything, he's going to go very, very far in this game.
All right. So who are you?
I'm leaning more. I don't know, man.
It's hard to give to three people. Like, Stephen Fishback gives to one person an episode, and even he sometimes does like the weather or production, and we're giving to three people every week. Like, it's very difficult.
Yeah, but you know what? Now, what are these? Can it be for any reason, or it has to be strategy or something like that?
I mean, you can give it based on looks, but no, we would prefer strategy. But you know what? It's your hat. It's your votes. You give however you want.
Okay. I was thinking of giving it to Adam because he makes me laugh.
You can do that, you know. And I gave 3 points.
All right, I'm giving it to Adam because he makes me laugh every week. Every week he makes me laugh.
So is that
3 points
for Adam?
No. I thought we were given 1 point each.
No. Sorry, it's an Australian football thing. So you give 3 points to the best player. So just order Eve, JT, and Adam.
Okay, I give him to JT then.
Three to JT, and then two to Eve or Adam.
Wait a minute, you just said, I'm giving all three to who? JT, right?
Yeah, but then who was second best? This is so complicated.
Eve. I would give
Eve.
Okay,
Eve, and then one to Adam. All right, so JT is in the lead. And then I guess he gets 5 points this week, so he's this week's Chizzy winner. Well done, JT. I gave 3 points to Aaron.
Well, I'm actually excited because he likes to wear hats. So if he wins this, he'll wear the hat. So that's
true. If anyone would appreciate a hat, it would definitely be JT, and he's well in the lead now for the Chizzy. And sorry about how complex that was and all the math we're doing, but you know, we take it seriously. It's for LaBelle's lobster hat. I care about these
listen,
points.
Listen, we cannot joke around with this hat. It's very expensive. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, remember, we're going to have to pay international shipping. So we've now committed to something that if
I will throw in the shipping. Please stop.
Thank you so. Wow, Brett. I mean, what an honor. We graciously accept.
Well, I graciously give. How's that?
Yeah. All right, Brett, we have so many questions. I put out the call on Twitter in the patron group for questions and they answered. I mean, they were excited about this.
Oh, well, listen, these guys are great. And I could probably write down most of their questions already. But anyway, go ahead. Let's
hear
them.
Yeah, a lot of people just sent in just saying, like, just tell Brett I love him. I'm like, that is not the point of this exercise.
And I love them. So how wonderful is that?
All right, we got some great questions. At Ace James on Twitter says, as someone who is in a season where half of the cast were Gen X, do you think having a millennial-heavy cast for Survive NZ was a good move? Now, I don't know if you know the age breakdowns, but JT is the oldest male on the season, and he's 32.
Who's the oldest male?
JT, and he's 32.
JT is the oldest guy on the show?
Yeah, and then there were three women above 32. One was Carla, and she's gone now, but it's an incredibly young cast, much like, you know, recent seasons of US Survivor. Do you think that hurts the season, or do you like seeing the young blood?
How old's Tara?
Tara is 44, so she's the oldest by, like, a good long way. And then Lisa's 38, but then
yeah,
there's the giant.
I forgot to talk about Tara. I like Tara, and I like her chances. But anyway, no shit. No, I don't. I like a more mixed. I think American Survivors, for some reason, they feel like they need to go to the younger crew. And I just don't understand it because I think there's a lot of people who watch this show. And I don't think that CBS in America realizes it. There's a lot of, like, regular middle-aged people that love this show. And I think they're going to lose all them if they keep doing this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People want people on there that they can relate to. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's good. I think this season's going good. And we'll see how it goes. But, like, you want to mix. That's what's fun about Survivor, is seeing a mixture of different kinds of people react. If I wanted to watch, you know, young millennials interacting, I'd go watch Real World or some stupid show like that. Yeah, exactly.
Big Brother. Like, Survivor's always been the one show that's had true diversity.
Or I go down to a local arcade and watch people play video games. You know what I'm saying?
That would be a weird thing to do. But yeah, no, we love seeing the diversity, and I get why they would want to do it. I think they think it might be that just like infusion of, I don't know, vitality or strategic, I don't know what they think, but they just are going with the US and thinking that younger people might bring a little bit more energy to the game or something. But I think to sacrifice diversity is all in all a mistake.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. You want to see it like that's what's fun is seeing these different kinds of people from different walks of life interact. You want to see people from, you know, I can only relate to American Survivor. So I want to see people from the North, talk to people from the South, talk to people from California, see all these different walks of life, all different ages interact and, mm-hmm. and seeing who votes for who, because like take the first season, Borneo with Richard Hatch and like Rudy, you know, here's a gay guy and a retired 60-year-old Navy SEAL they're an alliance together. Yes. It's the most, and Rudy would never have thought that he would ever be in alliance with him. So like, that's the kind of stuff that I love. And that's what Survivor's born out of, you know? Yeah,
completely agree. Ryan Brink says, what are your thoughts on watching someone who is not Jeff Probst host Survivor? We've covered this a little bit, but just generally.
Ryan Brink? Yes. Ryan Brink is chiming in?
Yeah, we love Ryan.
We all know Ryan Brink. Ryan's the best.
He's the best.
But, so now I was just shocked when I heard his name. What was the question again?
What are your thoughts on watching someone who is not Jeff Probst host Survivor?
Okay, that's an excellent question, Ryan, and bless your little cotton socks. So I would say I did not expect to. Well, I watched someone on Australian Survivor. What's that guy's name? He's great too.
Jonathan Lapaglia.
Jonathan, yeah, and I like Jonathan a lot. But it took me like literally two or three episodes to get past it. Right. Mm-hmm. So watching New Zealand Survivor, I've already been through that. Right. That shock of somebody else doing it. But once you watch it for a while, it's the same game, right? And mm-hmm. I hate to say this because I love Jeff, but if Jeff ever retires, the game will go on, you know?
Totally agree.
And Jonathan and Matt have proven that. And Chisholm, I love Chisholm, man. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, nothing against Jonathan. It's two different games. I'm not taking – they have two different styles. But I'll tell you, Chiz it reminds me a lot more of Jeff. Okay. From what I've seen so far. Now, I'm only three episodes in. I got to keep watching. But, yeah, I really like what he's doing. He's good at calling it out. And, you know, yeah, it's a little weird at first, but I still love it. I still love the game.
Yeah, I think that Matt and Jonathan are good proof that while I also really like Jeff, you know, I think Survivor, the game and the show is bigger than any one person. And for me, it's an eternal show that should go on forever and just be a staple of life. And it doesn't necessarily need to have Jeff because Jeff can't host it for eternity, but Survivor should go on forever. So I think it does prove that you could put someone else in that hosting role if and when the time does come. And, you know, it'll take a little while to adjust to it, but then Survivor will be fine, I think.
I agree. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Luke Froze says, was this the worst challenge performance in Survivor history? Obviously talking about the immunity challenge. For me, probably. Like, can you think of anything that was worse than this challenge performance?
No.
No. I feel like I've got a good handle on Survivor history, and no other tribal challenge performance jumped out to me as so terrible. Like, obviously, there were some individual performances in your season as well, not with you, but with some other people. But just as a tribe to completely fall apart like that, I don't know if we've seen something that bad before.
Yeah, I mean, I really like we're talking about the water challenge, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was yelling at the TV. I'm going, are you kidding me? Like, this is New Zealand. Like, everyone has to be able to swim. Someone fill me in here. The people that can't swim in New Zealand, I don't even understand. I can't even fathom that. You know what I mean? Like, and why would you try out for Survivor if you can't swim? But I was saying, listen, don't beat yourselves up, because I was saying that on my season while I stared at people on American Survivor, could not swim. And I love the guy to death, but David Wright couldn't. And David Wright, actually, in the last Rob Has a Podcast that he was on, said, learn to swim.
Yeah. Well, I think also they just gave up as a tribe. That's what it looked like. It looked like they just weren't.
Oh, no, I agree. It was like a total I think they gave up totally. They were like, all right, we're going to lose this again. And that's why I say when you lose that many, it gets in your head.
Poor Chani.
Yeah, poor Chani.
I love this question. Nick Fishman said, should Adam be thinking of throwing a challenge to remove Dylan?
No, absolutely not. Do not ever throw a challenge. I know that there's that thought process of throw a challenge, get rid of people, but you never want to go there. You just don't want to go there because anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I agree usually that you never throw a challenge. I'm someone who passionately believes that most of the time. But in this situation, I think it could be a good move because Dylan's clearly smart. And if you give him a little bit of room, like if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. If he can get to the outpost, he might get an advantage. If he can get to a swap, he'll meet up with people he can work with. And then you'll be ruining the day you left him in the game to come back to bite you.
Yeah, okay. But I don't think... I'm sorry, man. Just like you can get him later. They have the numbers. If they get to the merge with these numbers, they can get rid of him then. Like they can get rid of him anytime they want. And I get
know.
It. Like,
I think that he's going to, he'll make something happen because he's smart and he'll connect with other people. Like I think that he could easily come back and completely screw them.
I'm sorry. I don't, I cannot go on board with saying ever, throw a challenge.
But they also know where the idol is. So they can't, they're not going to worry that he has the idol. He hasn't been to the outpost. They have the idol. Like, I don't know. I actually was like, that's a pretty good idea. Agree to disagree on this.
But the thing is like, these are people you've known for 12 days. Do you really trust that they're all going to actually vote for you? They say they're going to, but when you go to tribal, are they really going to vote with you? I don't know, man. I to me, you just want to stay out of there. Listen, there's plenty of people with Shannon, with your level of thought that think, hey, listen, you got to throw one every now and then. You got to get this person out. But I'm telling you, it backfires too.
It backfires all the time. And I usually think not. But in this one situation, I can see it.
I don't know. If you got a tribe that's going all the way, just ride it. Ride it.
I guess that's true. You don't want to give Chani room where they get that victory. And then maybe they get on some sort of roll. But even then, you can get rid of, Tara and Keisha. Like, there's a lot of room before you get to that 5-person alliance. So they're in a good spot.
Yeah. Yeah, but Adam, don't kid yourself. You're one of the, he could be in the bottom of that alliance too. I don't know. I wouldn't do it, but there is schools of thought out there that would say do it. You know?
I do see your point, but how much would your heart break for Dylan if he just got on this tribe? Everyone hated him for no discernible reason. They threw a challenge and got rid of him. And like, he was a super fan and that was his game. Like what, that would be horrible to watch.
Oh, it'd be awful to watch. It was almost as bad, is watching Jacob Derwin. Like, there's another super fan who blogged on it, and I felt so bad for him. And, I would feel horrible for Dylan if that actually happens, but I hope to God they don't do it because I think it's a foolish move for all of them.
Yeah. Randy Newpool says, how do you feel that they are only allowed to sit someone out of the challenge that hasn't sat out at all or stood down at all instead of just 2 challenges in a row? Did you notice this?
I actually did notice that. That's interesting. But I'll tell you, I think that's going to screw things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so weird. Now you have to keep track of who set out where. Like, why? This is so complicated.
Yeah, like, I mean, because we would always sit our strong in Ukubula. We would sit our strong people out. We'd always not worry about who we sat out for the reward challenge. Yeah. But like, I usually sat out for reward challenges, but I always played in immunity challenges because we're trying to make sure that we won, So, I don't agree with that. I agree with the way we do it. Like, you can't do back to back, but you definitely could do like, we'd sit, there's just people that need to sit, what I'm saying?
Yeah. Vanessa Yank Turnier says, if you were sent to the outpost, what is the best way to connect with the other player?
Well, that's a good question. The outpost is new to me, right? Mm-hmm. But I really feel like if you get someone that you feel like you can jive with, and I truly believe, like, and we talked about this earlier, Shannon, so I don't want to go on it, but I truly believe that even Keisha are two, those two people are two that should have connected. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think both of their games are not like, who are they protecting? Either of them, So I really think that they should have said, hey, listen, girl, what's going on over there? I'll tell you what's going on over here. This is where I sit. This is where you sit. Why don't we look? We're going to get to the merch. Why don't we be secret? You know, whatever. There's got to be something to go there, you know? So I think if you get two, if you get a Dylan and let's say he gets with, I don't know. Who do you think?
Well, I guess JT's Dylan? Already been, but Aaron?
Oh, no. If JT went, that'd be great. But you're right. Yeah, Aaron. Oh, Aaron. Yeah, because he's God's greatest gift, right, Shannon? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See? He is.
but that's a good example. But so like, maybe he could say, hey, listen, I'm dying over here. You know, if Aaron said, well, tell me what's going on over there, and I'll, you know, when we merge, I'll throw you a lifeline or something.
Dylan
know.
Would spill everything.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you on the
percent. You have to.
But I don't think, I think that's probably his best move at this point, right? If he goes to the outpost, tell him everything. What do you got to lose? People treat you like shit, you know?
Yeah, completely agree. Kevin Doherty says, it was interesting seeing the clip right before Tribal Council of Frankie telling Liam and Aaron to vote Renee. Was this something that happened on Australian Survivor or American Survivor? I know that in the US, they're not supposed to communicate on the way to Tribal. So seeing that clip as a viewer was very weird for us because we don't usually see them lining up to go to Tribal. Like, was that, did conversations happen when you were doing that in your season?
Absolutely not. Yeah. So the minute you start walking to Tribal, you're in lockdown, which is what we call it. And there's no talking. There's no nothing. If there's handlers there that shut you up. So absolutely no talking. The only thing they would do is film us when we were walking. So, but they were always in the earshot. There was no talking. You could start whispering again once you got to, once Jeff was in front of you and everything, mm-hmm. then you could start playing the game again. But it had to be on film, and there would have been none of that.
That was bizarre to see, but really cool to see, actually, as a viewer, because we haven't seen anything like that before.
Yeah, it was cool.
All right. Doris Gudenkund says, who is getting a LaBelle's Lobsters hat from this cast? Now, we know the Chizzy winner is getting one. Thank you for that. But if you had to give one, just solely you decide on someone right now, who would you give the hat to?
Oh, God, don't put that on me, because I really like Dave, man. I think Dave's given us some good confessionals. I really like him.
Well, he's on a total of 0 Chizzy points, so
I know. I should have given him some. I wanted to give him some today, but he was trying to fight for the person that he ended up voting against. So
it wasn't exactly in his best interest from what we saw. He seemed pretty tight with Frankie, so not a great
result.
Yeah,
I know. But I tell you, he's smart, though. He's like, just go with the motions and get through. He's like, I just got to go with the majority. And he voted with the majority so that he can get to the once he gets to the merge, he's with his buddy Matt. You know what I mean?
I strongly feel that this must be based on his looks. Now that you're seeing so much in Dave that I see nothing of what you're seeing.
I look at Survivor a lot differently. And again, this is New Zealand Survivor. But I also, you got to look at the edit. You know what I mean? I think mm-hmm. he's getting a lot of confessionals.
Okay.
So I have a feeling he's going to go very far.
Yeah.
But this is news. I'm watching it like it's American Survivor. So who knows how it's being filmed. Mm-hmm. But I want to give it to, I don't know, maybe Adam.
Okay.
Lisa. I love Lisa too. I don't know, man. I don't know. I have to keep watching. I can't make a decision right
okay.
now.
Okay. Well, you're going to start having to send a ton of hats. With international shipping, so maybe we'll just call it just one hat for the Chizzy winner. You got to earn the hat. You don't just get a
I know,
hat because
but Lisa's,
Brett likes
Lisa's
you.
Definitely in the running because I think she's so cute. She grabbed my hat in the first episode. I really like her.
Okay, well, you can give her a hat, I guess, if you want. But I think we should.
No, I'm not. I haven't decided who's gonna. Okay. I said Adam, Lisa, and Dave so far.
All right.
You know. All right. And maybe. And JT's already on his way to getting one, so I'm going to leave him out of it.
JT would rock the hat. I mean, JT has, like, a lot of hats.
Yeah, he's the hat person.
This season has a lot of hats, like a lot of really fun, funny hats.
Yes. Yes, I know. And I think Tara is going to surprise everyone, too. So I got a lot of people I got to think about here.
Mm-hmm. It's a good cast.
It is.
To close this whole segment, Clayton O'Dell said, would Brett go to Know-It-Alls in Australia? And Lisa Josephville said, would Brett consider coming to a Know-It-Alls in New Zealand? So I think we kind of have the answer to that, but let's just get the confirmation.
Listen, I love it down there. I got to be honest. Like, I went down there after my season because I had I'd always wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been my mother's dream to go. She never made it down there. So she's always talked about Australia. So I always wanted to go. I went down. I had a great time. I met great Australian survivors, mm-hmm. and I was just obsessed with the beauty of the place and the weather and everything. And I said it was going to be a 2-week trip and I'd probably never go back. So I was going to enjoy it. But I'll tell you what, I can't wait to go back. I'm definitely going back. Mm-hmm. I would definitely come down to an Oz thing. But I would definitely like to go to New Zealand too. And I've been to Australia, not saying I don't want to go back, but I would definitely, that my next trip will probably be New Zealand if I go down there.
Okay, we'll do it. And tell Rob that he has to come down for know-it-alls here too. Like, we need, like, there's a massive community here. We deserve a live know-it-alls.
I don't think Rob realizes I've been down there and to be stopped in the middle of the street while a guy runs up to me while he's on his way to work to take a picture. Unless you're there as a survivor and you see how popular the show is down there, you can't even fathom it. You can't, like, I'm telling all American survivors, you can't fathom how many, the people know who you are.
Yeah.
They love the show and they watch religiously. So.
We do. It's a really, really good fan community down here. I mean, we've had viewing parties in every major city of Australia. We've had trivia nights, we've had meetups, we've had, like, people really love the show in Australia and New Zealand as well. So the more American survivors that can come down and hang out with the fans, the better. And we love that they're giving out these Fiji flights now because more people are coming to Australia than ever have before from the US Survivor cast.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. Hopefully I get to go back and get another free flight. But if not, I don't mind paying. I'm going to come down because I really did enjoy it. And
First, we made you pay for international shipping, and now you have to pay for an actual flight. Like, this podcast has cost you some money.
Listen, you can't take it with you. You know what I mean? You got to spend the money. You can't take it with you. So.
Okay, well, we look forward to having you again, and we're going to hold you to that know-it-alls. We're definitely going to make something happen at some point, I hope. But that's pretty much it from us here, Brett. Was there anything that you wanted to add about the episode?
I did have a couple things written down. But, no, I mean, I really am enjoying it, and... I just had written down that Matt Chisholm missed his child's birth.
Oh my God. You
didn't know that?
I think I might've read something vaguely about it, but that's sad. He's so committed to the show.
No,
like,
it's
really
not sad. It's not sad. Do you remember when you were born? Like, his kid's not going to care. His kid's going to be like, Dad, go make the money. So I don't have to work. You know what I mean? So I think it's wonderful. I think the guy's awesome. I think the show's really good, and I'm really having a lot of fun watching it. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, it's been really, really fun, and I've loved talking to you about it, Brett. We need a hashtag for this episode of the podcast. Everyone knows you guys can hashtag RHAP. You can hashtag KnowItAls. But if you got to the end of this specific podcast, Brett, I have a few for you. We've got hashtag Killer Phoebe, hashtag Aaron Truther, and hashtag Vomit Strategy. Do any of those jump out to you?
Well, I don't want to bring an Australian survivor into it, although I love Killer Phoebe. I think Killer Phoebe's great. I think the vomit one would work with this. What was the third one?
Aaron Truther.
Let's go with Aaron Truther.
Okay, and that's Aaron, A-R-U-N, Truther.
Oh, I know. That's how I spelled it.
I know. Just the listeners, just when you're hashtagging, we love getting those hashtags. You can always hashtag Chismisms. Thank you for the people who have.
Let's hashtag both Phoebe Killer and Aaron Truther.
Okay. Phoebe Killer and Aaron Truther. Brett, where can people find you on social media if they want to reach out, talk about the show, just tell you how much they love you, which we got a lot of this week? Where can they find you?
Oh, well, I love them too. You can find me at Brett LaBelle on Twitter and at Brett LaBelle on Instagram. And I will tell you this. I don't really do Facebook anymore, guys, especially with all the problems they've been having. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't have to friend me. But for, like, I can, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and so that's the best places to get me.
Okay, great. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Shannon Gaitz, SHANNONGAITZ. I've loved so much hearing from you guys on Twitter, in the patron group, on the website. Like, it's just been so much fun to talk about the episode. I'm still having so much fun doing this whole podcast thing. Still not sure how I ended up here, but I'm just rolling with it. I get to talk to awesome people like you, Brett. It's just been so much fun. So please reach out. I'm having a great time. And I'm so excited to announce that next week we will have the amazing Annalise Wilson from season 2 of Australian Survivor. She's a personal favorite of mine. So I'm really, really keen to talk to her about episode 4. You can find the podcast on the podcast app under Reality TV Wrap Ups or on Rob Has a Website. And that's pretty much all we have today. Brett, anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I'm going to meet Annalise in June. She's coming to Boston, so I'm excited for that. So tell her I said hi next week, will you?
I will. And can we offer her a LaBelle's Lobster hat as well? I'm just giving out the hats to everyone. I'm going to
stop. Yeah, you're just throwing them out like
you've
crazy.
Invested
yeah,
enough. You've invested enough.
No, listen. Yeah.
Can I have a hat?
Absolutely. At the end of the let me know who I got to give it to. So we'll have to touch back at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think people now, if we were to promise the hat and not deliver, people would be very angry. So we actually definitely have to do that.
Oh, no, I always deliver. Brother, come on, stop it.
All right. You know. So that's exciting for whoever wins the chili. But I've had so much fun talking to you today, Brett. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye, Shannon. Thank you.